Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
It is said that too many Christians worship their work. They work at their play and play at their worship. To the extent that statement is true, it is tragic. It represents an inversion of values, a turning of upside down of eternal values that lead only to impoverished souls. In the Christmas season just past, the statement takes a particular twist, equally unfortunate, because so many are filled with parties, filled with shopping. So many moments are filled with activities that the birth of Jesus Christ is reduced to an excuse rather than the reason for the season. So it's a good time to take a look at an old lesson, one modeled by an unlikely cast of characters. It is a lesson of worship brought to us, sponsored by the Magi from the East. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we come here to worship you, to seek your presence, to lay ourselves before you in some way that you will accept, Father, that we might know you better, that we might serve you more, that we might love you with everything that is within us. Father, we thank you and praise you for this moment, a moment where we are filled with your presence, a moment where we know that you are here in the very midst of us. Father, we thank you and praise you for that. Father, if there's anything that I should say that is not in perfect keeping with your will, then cast it out, Father. We didn't come to hear that. We didn't come to hear the words of a man. We came to hear your words. Your words are true. Your words have life and death. Father, may we hear those words of life today. May we become your more perfect worshipers. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to be reading to you today from the second chapter of Matthew. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" And Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them that the time of the star had appeared to them. And he said to them, to Bethlehem, and said, Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, so that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. True worship arises from the most unlikely people and places. It would have been no surprise if the people of Israel, the Jewish people, who had been awaiting the Messiah, had worshipped Jesus Christ, their Messiah. That would not have been a surprise. But the wise men from the east were outsiders concerning their faith. Many have said they were pagan astrologers, priests of a naturalistic religion from the 7th century B.C. of Median origin. The book of Daniel describes practitioners of their order as operating in Babylon in 6th century B.C., The magi, from which we derive the word magic, were highly praised and honored officials. It was very rare for a king to be consecrated or accepted or recognized as a king without their approval. Moreover, these men were considered Gentiles, who under the Old Testament law and the Jewish religion were outside, were considered of very low esteem. They were Gentiles, after all. And their alienation from the ways and promises of God were accentuated by their practicing astrology, which was forbidden, mocked in the Old Testament. But the Magi surprised us. For Matthew features their eagerness to worship Jesus as King of the Jews, whose star or Shekinah glory they had followed for Jerusalem. Their arrival represents the grace of God, who allows non-believer Gentiles to see his glory in the sky, to understand in their hearts the need to make the long, expensive, and difficult journey to an unknown place. Who, like Abraham, had left his place in the east, where he was comfortable, to follow the voice to lead him through to a country he did not know and serve a God he did not recognize. These same principles affected and called to the wise men of the East. It was founded on a sincere faith or belief that the one they came to worship was worthy of their worship. Translation of the word that describes their motivation is intent. They intended to worship the Holy One sent by God. We are not sure how much theology they understood, but this much is clear. They knew they sought a king, and they had sought him in the desert. They had sought him on the mountains. They had sought him through a difficult journey in order to worship him. When they arrived at the end of their journey, they celebrated with great joy, the scriptures tell us. Herod, on the other hand, professed a desire to worship, but his motives were evil, wicked, malicious. He was troubled by the announcement that the Magi, fearing the birth of a usurper to his very throne. And so he was unhappy. And when he was unhappy, the whole city was unhappy. And so he called his biblical experts to tell him where this Messiah, this King of the Jews, would be born. And they cited Micah 5:2, 2 Samuel 5:2, and 1 Chronicles 11:2 to determine that the Bible taught that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem, would be born in Bethlehem. He then sent the wise men 4 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, instructing them to return with word that they had found the King of the Jews, so he could come and worship. But he didn't want to worship. His investigation, his interest, was solely so that he could pursue his desperate needs. He wanted a pretense of worship to mask his evil heart. When the Magi arrived at the house where Jesus was, they fell prostrate in reverence before him. They had not greeted Herod the same way. He had called them in secret. We don't know how they got to the palace. We don't know anything except what we have read in the scripture. But we know this, that they did not act the same way that they acted when they came in front of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The visit before Christ's child was therefore totally different than the entrance before Herod. The posture on the floor was a visible expression of what they had in their hearts. The king, in addition, they presented him gifts. Gifts to a king. Gold was a gift that you gave to a king. Frankincense was a gift that you burned for a deity. And myrrh was a gift that you gave to wrap people in their final state of death. These were expensive tokens of their esteem. But it was a part of their lifestyle to give gifts, especially to a superior, to bring gifts that were appropriate. These gifts foreshadowed realities concerning the ruler of all the world. His worthiness to be worshipped as the Son of God, and his death on the cross for sinners like you and me. The worship of the Magi from an unlikely cast of characters is instructive for us as well. Our worship, like theirs, is enabled by divine grace. It is to be offered in sincerity of heart rather than ostentation or in deceit. It expresses itself in humble giving of our talents, time, and treasures to our matchless Lord. This is a worship that is appropriate for Christians throughout the year, and it is the thing that we should give to God after journeying a long way to reach his side. We should give him everything we have of value. Follow your heart. It is the star that you should look to. There you will find the Shekinah glory of God. You will find it because you have looked for it. You will find the Shekinah glory of God. Read the Bible. For it tells you what God believes He has in store for you. It tells you about you and your failings and how God in His mercy comes through and holds us in the palm of His nail-scarred hand. It tells you in Jeremiah 29:11, the thoughts that I have for you, for your life, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future of hope. That is the invitation that people will give all around the world today. They will give people who are hopeless, who are out of the mainstream, who are not part of the glorious thing that the Jews felt that God had given to them. But by His grace, they are called forward. By His grace, we are called forward. For all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. By His grace, and by His grace alone, are we swept up to the heart of Christ. Jesus loves us unconditionally. You know, I didn't understand that word at all. I didn't understand that unconditional love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, until I read it after the birth of my first son. When I read that, I went home from the hospital and read that verse. It jumped out to me in a way it had never spoken to me before. I had never been a father before. I had never had a child handed to me, my only begotten child. To give that child for someone else, to give that child to an unworthy world, was unthinkable. And yet, through God's grace, through God's mercy, through God's love, He gave us His only begotten Son. And we refuse to worship. We refuse to worship a King that loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die on a cross for our sins. We will not worship, makes me angry because I know the wickedness of my own heart. We try to express our love in various ways. We try to express our love through gifts, through time, the gifts of our talents, of whatever we have. But God requires only this, that like the wise men, we still seek Him. We still long for Him. We still will go anywhere at any price for any reason for Him. Because He loves us. And He comes and asks us only to acknowledge Him and to worship. There is a story about a man who went to heaven. He didn't like it very much because he found that all day long, every day, for eternity, he would do nothing but sing the praises of his Lord and King. But God has designed us for that purpose. He does not want us to come to him in any other way than by our own free will, to submit to him, to come to him not because, like Herod, we have wickedness in our heart we want to cover up. He wants us to come like the wise men, like Abraham, following after a God we have not seen, into a place we know has many dangers, but to trust him, to place our faith and trust in him alone.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.